ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 30, verse 21. Maitri Uvacha. Evam Brahmanam Purushartha Bhajanam Janadanam Pranjalaya Pratishtha Chasa Tadarshanad Vastatam Orajo Malam Giragrinan Gadgadaya Suritamam Evam Brahmanam Purushartha Bhajanam Janadanam Pranjalaya Pracheta Saham Tadarsana Dvasda Tamorajo Mala Yagrinam Gadgadaya Surit Tamam Evam Brahmanam Purushartha Bhajanam Janardanam Pranjalaya Prachetasaha Tadarsanat Mastatamo Rajomala Yiragrinam Gadgadaya Suritamam. Maitri Uvacha. Maitri Sat. Evam. Thus. Bruvana. Speaking. Purusharta. Of the ultimate goal of life. Bhajanam, the bestower. Janardhanam, one who takes away all the disadvantages of the devotee. Pranjalayaha, with folded hands. Prachetasaha, the Pracheta brothers. Tat, him. Darshana, by seeing. Dvasta, dissipated. Tamaha, of darkness. Rajaha, of passion. Malaha, whose contamination. Gira, with a voice. Agrinan, offered prayers. Gadgadaya, faltering. Surittama, unto the greatest of all friends. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of Godhead spoke thus, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life, and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who was before them, face to face. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is herein described as Purusharta Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun rises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contaminations of the material qualities of rajas and tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is also purified of all material contamination because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto, chapter 2, text number 17. Shrinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantasto yabhadrani vidyunoti sritatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous, when properly heard and chanted. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord Himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually, all material contamination disappears. The prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could therefore offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityaitam Brahmabhuyaya Kalpate. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the pratetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Om Mahajnana Tibhanandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was sitting in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes shut tight, but my spiritual master came with the torchlight of knowledge and opened them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namah Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschata Desatarane He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostate Radharasha Sri Ramya Ramacha Paramatmana Krishna Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Hari Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So let's start with an experiment. Srila Prabhupada would always do this experiment. Not always, but it's a good experiment. We all share an experience together right now, right here, that has to do with this purport. The part of the purport that mentions Paramatma. So Srila Prabhupada used to say to a crowd of people in Pandal, auditorium, any big gathering of people, Prabhupada would say, we're going to do an experiment. He'd say, take your finger and point to your elbow. Everybody. Everyone, take your finger, point to your elbow. Huh? Now point to your knee. Now point to your nose. Now point to your head. Now point to yourself. Everybody went right here. Did you see how many people? They went like this. So amazing. It's such a conclusive, remarkable, accurate, convincing experiment. Because you'll see, if you have a chance to do this with any group of people, when you say, point to yourself, most people point right to Paramatma, right there, Lord in the heart. So it's an interesting experiment, and it's what we see is mentioned here. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, well, the first part of the purport he mentions, bestower, the bestower of the ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of life. In simple terms, the simplest way we can think about the goal of life, not only for us, not even only for people, but for that pigeon, for the Hanuman Langers, for the rhesus monkey, for the dog, the kakura, huh? Billy, for the cat, the gopita, gomata, all people, every living being, same goal. Radha Rasa Bihari Ki, Gornitai Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Bhakta Hanuman Ki. Same goal, every living being, the same goal. What is that goal? What is the goal that everything that lives and breathes, what's the goal of life? What is the goal of life? Who can tell me? Don't say love of God. That's too easy. You know that's true. But really, if you don't even know anything about God, and Prabhupada gave this instruction too. I was told by other senior godbrothers of mine, more than once, I know this is true, Prabhupada gave this instruction again and again. The goal of life, even the Dalai Lama agrees with this one, the goal of life is the same for everyone, every living being. What do we want? We want to be happy. Isn't that true? It's true. The goal of all life is to be happy. So what will make us happy? It says here, Srila Prabhupada says, whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. So what is the mercy of the Lord? When I'm a child, I depend on the mercy of my mother and father. So mercy of the Lord, mercy of one's superior, mercy of the boss, mercy of the instructor, mercy of the guru, guru kripa. What is it really? What's it really all about? First, I'll tell you that all around the world, in the newspapers, on TV, in the magazines, the books you read, the movie you see, the song you hear, we're getting information, we're getting instruction on how to become happy. Everyone's receiving instruction, how you can be happy, how you can achieve the goal of all life. It's there, it's being given us to all the time, all the time. We're being told, if you want to be happy, all you have to do is fall in love. Fall in love, fall in love. Just fall in love and you'll be happy. Isn't that what we're being told? Yes. Everywhere, all around the world, people are being told,
you just fall in love and you'll become happy. That's the goal of life. So, but now where I'm from Murka, Noriko, I mean America. I'm from there. People there, they follow this instruction and half of them divorce. Huh? And some of them suicide. They become so unhappy. They want to die. Huh? Why? Why is that? What's the real thing? What's the real thing? If I fall in love and I don't want to be disappointed, I don't want to be cheated, I don't want to be left in the emptiness, in the dark, who do I have to fall in love with? You know, Krishna. You have to fall in love with Krishna. But in most places all around the world, they don't know anything about God. Huh? I'm married. My wife is back in Gujarat. She's the pujari for Lord Jagannath in the Balabhijanagar temple. So I say I love her. I say I love my wife. Huh? But what if someone came up to me and said, what color are her eyes? What if I didn't know? What if I didn't know? What kind of love is that? Huh? So what do people know about God in the world? Nothing. Except here. Except here. Huh? Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, that's it. Bhagavad Gita, what does God have to say? Upanishads, what's the science? What is the science of love of God? What's the science of the soul? What's the science of self-realization? Nobody knows except here, because you have the information, you have the instruction, you have the manual, you have the truth, the tattva. This is real. This is dependable. And I'll give you something amazing that I recently found out about. You've all heard of Chaturveda, huh? Four Vedas. What is it? There's the Samaveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda, Rigveda. The Rigveda is the oldest Veda. But if you look in Rigveda, you'll find an accurate value, an accurate figure for what? The speed of light. Speed of light. How amazing. Huh? This is absolute highest possible science. The science of love of God. The science of the soul. The science of self-realization. There's no higher science anywhere than what you'll find in here. The Book of Knowledge, Grolier's, Britannica. What do they say? They say 300 years ago, 1676, some man in Norway, Ole Roma, something. Some man in Norway, he discovered the speed of light. No! Why? Why do they lie like that? They lie for a reason. The British started it. The British were the ones that started make it popular to lie about India. What did the British say? They got kicked out of here. Gandhi said, burn the mill cloth! Burn the mill cloth! The British had to go back to England. Hey! Jai! So they had to go back to England. The point being that the British became angry. They became so envious and disturbed that then they started to make lies, and they had power. In the educational community, they have Oxford, they had Cambridge. They were established as the bellwether. They were established as the overriding principle for what is considered knowledge in the world. They headed up all the great universities. Srila Prabhupada even went to one of their schools, Scottish Church College in Kolkata. Everywhere, they established what knowledge is. But when they were kicked out of India, for good cause, they deserve to go. You have to do a lot to make an Indian angry. And they did. And so the British, out of their spite and their fury and their disappointment and enviousness,
They said the zero is from the Arabs. That's a lie. It's from the Vedas. And they said all deep, profound philosophy is from the Greeks, from the ancient Greeks. Another lie. So how are we supposed to believe these people, anywhere in the world? And what do we have now in India? Cricket and whiskey. What? We're throwing away the highest, best, finest things. Huh? There's the Rabindranath Tagore. You've all heard of Rabindranath Tagore. Some of you may have heard of Mark Twain in America. He's the Rabindranath Tagore of America. And he's considered very intelligent. And he said like this. He said, the highest morality, the finest culture, the greatest honor, the very best things are treasured up in India. He said like that. Huh? And not only him, the greatest authorities in literature and even in science. Again and again, they're saying, this is the source, this is the original place where you can find. You go to the Bhagavatam, you go to the Vedas. This is absolute, pure, perfect wisdom, knowledge, and real truth. Look at quantum mechanics, physics. Huh? They changed from Newtonian physics to quantum physics. The two fathers of quantum physics are Erwin Schrödinger and Werner Heisenberg, famous scientists. You've heard. You're studying physics. Anyway, you know, though. You've heard of these men. They're considered the two fathers of quantum physics, quantum mechanics. Heisenberg is quoted as having said, the things that seemed hard to understand in quantum mechanics, after we read the Vedas, they seemed much less crazy. And Carl Sagan, Dr. Carl Sagan, he says, there's no other body of wisdom and knowledge that provides accurate information about great spans of time. What's the lifetime of Lord Brahma? 311 trillion years. Huh? What's the speed of light? Speed of light. Just such an amazing concept, just conceptually, for a person to even be able to think that light has even speed. 220 kilometers per second. 186,000 miles per second. It's inconceivable. My mind can't even comprehend it. I really can't understand that. But it's there, it's in the Vedas, somehow. The rishis, mystic yogis, great saints, they could understand. So we really have to save India. We have to save India. We have to save India because only India can save the world now. Everyone else is cheating. Everyone else is cheating. Huh? Are you going for a degree in engineering? Or you already have your degree? Are you a nuclear engineer? Good. What's nuclear power? What's oil power? What's coal power? Cheating! Cheating, cheating, cheating. Huh? Dirty, stinky, poisonous, terrible. Huh? Fukushima. Huh? Now more hundreds, even possibly now millions of people will die from Fukushima. They're saying Chernobyl, 1 million. If they want to be honest about Chernobyl in Russia, they have to admit around 1 million people dead. Fukushima is thousands of times worse. And that's just one nuclear plant made by Americans, by the Navy and General Electric in Fukushima in Japan. That's just one, you know, or six reactors. How many do they have in America? Over 100. And they also have Madrid fault line. They have big earthquake potential, just as bad, if not worse. And they have the Yellowstone caldera in America. They're on the brink of all kinds of major catastrophes that could really destroy everything. But we have the biggest advantage of all.
We know something that no one else on the planet can possibly know. They're not provided with the information. You're not that body. We're not these bodies. These bodies are temporary. These bodies are going to crumble away. I'm 64. I can tell. I'm disintegrating very quickly now compared to what I remember it was like before. So we can understand. We can understand that we have no choice. We have to give up this material situation. We have no choice. It's going to happen. So Srila Prabhupada is giving that information. I used to distribute books in the airport in Chicago. And one argument, of course, they're always saying, no, I don't need your book, I don't want your book. You know, one out of 50 people, oh, you know, they give some rupees, dollars, whatever, they take book. So one out of 100, not very often. But and so I'd hear argument over and over again, I'd hear one particular argument many times. Someone to say, I already read your book. I read the book. I already read some of your books. And your guru, in his purports, he's very morbid. You've heard that excuse? That explanation? They're saying he's very morbid. Morbid means he's always concerned about death, dying. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, more than once he said to the devotees at his bedside, he said, don't think this won't happen to you. Don't think this won't happen to you. So you can judge a man's entire life by how he dies. You can judge a man's entire life by how he dies. So that's what Prabhupada gave us the truth. Tattva. He gave us the real truth. And that's valuable. The extreme example, I'll give you an extreme example, is the atheist. No God. Religion is just silly, primitive superstition. I know, my mother and father said that to me when I was about a year old. And I could first understand, they explained to me, no God, religion is just a silly little superstition. Don't take it seriously. And then, for whatever reason, different things happened. By the time I was 23, I was angry for different reasons. And the best way for me to express my anger was to become religious. And of all the religions that would make my parents most disturbed, Hare Krishna. So on the basis of that, I took up this process. Also, it's true, I have to admit, that I was an atheist. I'd been indoctrinated by the propaganda of my parents and all their friends and the schools that we were sent to. We were all convinced there is no God. Religion is foolishness. So I would go and I would have arguments with any religious person, and I would usually have no trouble explaining to them and whoever else was listening that religion is ridiculous. Until I started running into the Hare Krishnas. And then I couldn't beat them. I couldn't beat them. I couldn't defeat them. I couldn't do anything. So I had to join them. So that's how I joined. I was always arguing, there's no God. But then the devotees said, well, let's examine that. Let's look at that more carefully. So this is the absolute truth. This is so powerful. This is amazing. This has the greatest value. Zero risk for anyone who takes advantage of this. There's no risk. And there is highest possible yield. So this is the best scheme. This is the best scheme of all. This has the greatest value. Greatest value. You can take all the money in the world. You can take all the money in the world right now. Let's pack it in here. Let's put it out in front of the temple. Let's take all the money in the world. Let's put it right out in a big, big pile. And then, let's burn it. Or put it all in a little dot on your flat panel screen. A little pixel. A couple of little pixels. That's all the money in the world. Gone. Huh? But any amount of Krishna consciousness, any amount of Krishna prema, any amount of knowledge of God and love for God that you can develop can never be taken away from you, and it's the most valuable thing. So Prabhupada says in the purport, Paramatma, that's where we started, Paramatma is in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, it cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed an urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Sarvasya taham riti sanivisto matakshmitir dhyanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarveraham eva vidyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham. That's also in the heart of every living being. Huh? Sarvasya taham riti sanivisto. God is in your heart. You're there with God. God's in your heart and you're there with God. God is directing your steps. You don't have to worry. You've got the secret to happiness. God is in your heart. You're there with God. God is directing your steps. You don't have to worry. You've got the secret to happiness. It's true. This is the truth. Tattva. That's there for everyone. But how many people know that? Very few. Very little. You have to have Radharani. You have to have Radharani. Where in the world is there the goddess? Only here. Only here in India. She's been exiled. She's been kidnapped. She's been taken away from all the other religions of the world. Huh? So important. So important. This is the highest wisdom, the finest knowledge. Nothing else comes close. So we have to become absorbed. We have to enter into this. We have to imbibe. We have to drink this wisdom into our consciousness. And then we have to try to share it with as many people as possible in as many different ways as we can. And that way we're guaranteed to become happy. Why? Because we're falling in love. We're falling in love with Krishna. And that's the highest love. There's no other love. In fact, if I want to love my wife, if I want to have the happiness I can have from loving my wife, but I don't love Krishna, not going to work. It won't work. There'll be divorce, there'll be sadness, there'll be difficulty. And then as death is coming, I saw my mother and father, because they were atheists, what did they experience? There's two words. You can even Google them. You can take a search engine and you put in the two words, terminal restlessness. Terminal restlessness. Any atheist, I guarantee you, like I say, I'm a priest. I was working in hospice in Vrindavan for some time. Even in America, I went to many hospitals to sit at the bedside of people who are leaving their bodies. And I also talked to many nurses, and they would always agree. They'd say to the degree, the amount of faith, the amount of faith that someone has developed in God during the course of that of their lifetime, it decreases the distress, the confusion, and the fear that they have to go through due to so much uncertainty when they have to leave the body. And I saw my poor mother and father. They were very confused. They were in distress. They were experiencing terminal restlessness. Mostly my fault. I never figured out how to communicate with them. My mother died in 98, and my father 2005. So when my mother passed away, it was a wake-up call because I had absolutely no luck with her. My conversation with my mother and father about Krishna consciousness was over. Always I would say to them, you're atheists, you're demons, you're going to hell. So obviously, you can't instruct your mother and father. It's not going to happen. A mother and father will never accept lessons or instruction from their children. won't happen. So a few years went by. My father, I had a chance to get to know him the last 2 years of his life, from 2003 to 2005. And somewhere in there, I went to my father, and I said, "Papa." He's from Sweden, so we call it Papa. I said, "Papa, you know, there's troubles in this organization I'm in, this ISKCON. They're having some, you know, trouble, some problems at different levels in management and so on." I said that to my father. I said, "You know, this is what I've done. This is my career. This is my life. This is what I've chosen. But you know, Papa, I'm having some problems now." He said, "Tell me more about the philosophy." So on the basis of approaching him like that, "I need your help. Please, you give me instruction. I want advice from you." Then he was able to hear. Before that, no chance to hear. So that's a very powerful way to preach. Best way for us to preach is to help people see that we're listening, we care, we have love for them. And then they can trust us. Then they're more likely to trust us. So this is very exciting. We're in an incredibly exciting situation. We're best positioned, everyone, because you're in this room, right? Because you're in Radharasa Bihari Mandir right now. I know that means you have the highest qualifications to help the great problems, to offset, to counteract, to challenge all the difficulties that people are going to be going through more and more. You have the best, highest knowledge and wisdom and information. You have it. So the next thing to do is to try to understand how to make this available to more people. But anyway, I already said that. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Any questions, comments? Jai Prabhu.
As you referred to name of Dalai Lama, as you referred the name of Dalai Lama during the lecture,
the name of
Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama.
Oh, Dalai Lama. Okay. I mentioned.
We can say that he's one of the transcendentalists. And he had a Buddhist kingdom in Tibet. And he was governing from there. But due to the brutal military power of China, he was thrown out. So, similarly, we are also a community, but against the brutal military or monetary power, we are helpless, defenseless. So, world is still ruled by demons. We are in a tiny minority, atomic minority. We have no power against them. One rumor sent by demonic mind person can affect lakhs of devotees, lakhs of Buddhist people. So what is the solution for such thing?
Nice question. Thank you very much. And it has a number of parts, and let me see if I understand. You're mentioning Dalai Lama, and then you're also saying that there are monsters, terrible, evil, demoniac monsters that are ruling the planet Earth. So these are two very good points that I'm very grateful to you for mentioning, because these are understandings that we should take a look at. The Dalai Lama I mentioned, that he's saying also the goal of life is to be happy. And there's a nice quote where he also says the best way to become happy is by helping other people. But then the question is, well, what's his version of help? And actually, why is he promoted by the monsters? Is that right? You see that too? You see, there's a tie-in there.
The Dalai Lama is actually receiving funding and support and facility from the same ruling monsters that are exploiting, manipulating, controlling, and enslaving everyone on this planet as much as they can. So, the Dalai Lama has some little bit of truth. Through Buddhism, he can offer Brahman realization. But we were talking about Paramatma here. And above and beyond Paramatma, there is Bhagavan. So Srila Prabhupada, he said his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, was Nrsimha Guru. He was Lion Guru. Why? Because he would chase down the Mayavadis, Shunyavadi, Paschata, Desatarane. He would fight them. He would run across the street and they would run away. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and now our Guru Srila Prabhupada, he made this a very important understanding. So what's our best argument? Our best argument against the Mayavadis, the Zen Buddhists, and all these people is that yes, they have some truth. And they can avoid suffering. They can even experience ananda, bliss. They can have very high, high levels of understanding and realization because it's based on this perfect science. But there's one thing that they can never have. Love. They're denied that love, which is where the greatest power comes from. So you're the last thing you asked. Now I can answer the last part of your question, which was, we're so small. We're in teeny tiny minority. But actually, we're exactly in opposition to another teeny tiny minority. Huh? Most of the people on the planet that are under the direction of these evil rulers, they have no idea what's happening. They're being controlled by the media, by the TV, and so on. They're very tightly controlled. Their minds are driven and directed by that system. So, have you ever heard of Mukesh Ambani? How about Bill Gates? They're nothing. They're small timers. Billionaire. Billionaire. Who cares? That's nothing. You can say someone's name, then who cares? That means they're not very important. They don't really have much power. If someone, little guy like me, I'm nothing, I can walk around and say Mukesh Ambani, Bill Gates, whatever. Huh? That means they don't have very much power. They don't have very good security. They're only billionaires. What's the next step up from billionaire? Trillionaire. Trillionaire. Now, I take the word trillionaire, T-R-I-L-L-I-O-N-A-I-R-E. I take that word and I type it in Firefox on my computer. There's a built-in spell checker on Firefox. Very nice. But guess what happens? Red line. No such word. No such word. Huh? So they don't just control the media. They're in charge of the entire educational system, all the way back to the British. Huh? The Anglo-American nasty, rotten, terrible, evil monsters that are ruling the planet and destroying the planet Earth. That's our opposition. But the ones that are doing the most control, only a small number, very small. Victor Hugo. Victor Hugo. He answers your question. You know, do you know the quote I'm going to bring from Victor Hugo, famous French author? Victor Hugo said, "Nothing moves in the world more forcefully than an idea whose time has come." And that's what we've got. See, we have the power. We just have to understand that we've got the upper hand. Because there's only a few nasty, sinful, evil, rotten demons. And there's only a few of us, but we've got the upper hand. We've got the high road. We have the leverage. Because we're operating on what? The power of love! That's what we have. What do they have? They have the power of anger. the power of fear, the power of sickness and sin and filth and disgusting poison. That's where they're at. That's what they do. That's their expertise. It's nothing. So Victor Hugo says, nothing moves in the world more strongly, more forcefully, or more powerfully than an idea whose time has come. That's us. We have to save India now. Only India can save the world. And that's the truth. Haribo.
Your reply is nicer than my question. Thank you very much.
Haribo. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, it is mentioned everywhere in the scripture that ultimate goal of life is self-realization, God-realization, Krishna prema, etc. Yeah, that means there are other goals which are immediate goals. What are they, according to you?
What are the other goals? The other goals. Oh, okay. So we're saying, in other words, I'm saying that we have the high ground. We have the absolute truth. Because we're saying the real goal, Krishna prema. That's the highest goal. So anything falling short, anything below that, will ultimately be disappointing. We can only bring frustration. Even I say, I have a wife. I'm married. I love my wife. But we both know that that's not going to last forever. Because Srila Prabhupada gives us that information. All the things in the material world ultimately are going to lead to disappointment and frustration and dissatisfaction. No one else seems to know that. Huh? They don't know. They're denied that information. They're in denial about that. So they think it's important for them to have a job. I have to have a job. I have to make money. Huh? But my wife and I, we go out on Harinam every day in Gujarat or wherever we are. When I was here, you know, I go out, I chant every day. And when I can get a crowd, see, I'm a white elephant. I'm one of those white-skinned Americans. So people wonder, what is he doing? And two of us also, my wife has blue eyes. So we look different. People become curious. They want to know. They come up, they ask, what are you doing? And so I give them as much of this information that I've just given you. But I also, there's one other thing that we tell them that I haven't mentioned yet that has to do with your question. We say all the trouble in the world, all the war, all the financial breakdown and crisis, terrorism, all the problems in the world, they're only due to one thing and one thing alone. All the trouble in the world is because people, they want Lakshmi without Narayan. And so they have to suffer. Now, when I say that to people here in India, they laugh, they smile, they nod. Immediately, they understand that concept. They know what I'm talking about. If I go to UK, Australia, Europe, Russia, America, and I give that idea, they have no idea. They have no understanding, zero comprehension. They have no background, no foundation. So that's what I'm saying. In other words, they're completely caught up in what you're mentioning. The lower modes. And it says in the purport, Rajas, Tamas, hardly any, you know, sattvic motivation for them. What's the one of the biggest, a catchphrase from advertising in America? There is one big beer company. There's a beer company in America called Budweiser. Huh? And one of their most powerful slogans, which, by the way, slogan is from shloka. But their most powerful slogan in America from this beer company is, you only go around once, so grab for all the gusto. And it's powerful because that's what everyone thinks. See, that's how advertising can be effective. They look at their demographic setup. They look at all the different, you know, combinations and the ingredients in the population in terms of different kinds of people. They do studies. They do intensive investigation and research. And then they come back and they say, well, this is what most people seem to think. And then they come up with a slogan. Most people anywhere but India, they're thinking, well, you only go around once. Grab for all the gusto. Try to enjoy. And then they go straight to hell because they're wrong. Or even worse, they do enjoy like anything. And then what? They take birth as a dog or a rat. Gua. Kukula. Huh? Or a roach. Some bug in the wall. Because that's what happens. That's what happens. So we know. We know. We have the truth. So this is important. This is what we get for loving Krishna. And it's not easy. What we're told to do. Huh? What are the 10 offenses to the holy name? Huh? First offense, to blaspheme great devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Second offense, to consider names of the demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Third offense, disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Anyway, there's 10 of them. The first time I read those 10 offenses, I was a troublemaker. I was on the bus. I was Bhakta Elton. There was a Bhakta John. And Bhakta John and Elton, the two of us, we went and we looked at the 10 offenses. And we started laughing hysterically. Because this is impossible. And you know what? Now it's over 40 years later. I still see it's impossible. It's still impossible. I'm always blaspheming great devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. I can't understand, you know, how to avoid the 10 offenses. I really can't. So we have our work cut out for us. And the only saving grace, the only thing that makes it possible for us to carry on, to keep on keeping on, love of God is so powerful. And it comes to us through the devotees. Huh? Still, I'm an atheist. I'm still an atheist. In 2003, I had an epiphany, kind of a breakthrough. I was crying all day. And that was because devotees had tolerated me for so many years. But even still, I have a lot of mental bad habits that I have to work on. So we depend on each other's love, and our love is so strong because we're basing it. It depends on Krishna's love. So no one else anywhere in the world has any idea what real love is. The closest thing in the material world, the closest thing to real love in the material world that we can see as an example is the love of a mother for her child. She'll give her own life. She'll give up her life to protect her baby. Even later in life, you know, the mother has so much love. Inconceivable. And that is nothing compared to the love of Krishna for each and every one of us. So we have to find out about that. We have to learn about that. We have to go in that direction. And as we're able to do so, the level of happiness, the joy, the ananda, the real bliss and excitement about being alive becomes more and more available to us and everyone we come in contact. Because Srila Prabhupada said, I just want you to be happy. Sometimes devotees miss that. Why should we be happy? If I'm like this all the time, who's going to want to hear what I have to say? But if I look happy, Hare Krishna, that's why we go out and we chant. Chant, be happy. Chant and be happy. And it works. Huh? It really works. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. We chant Hare Krishna, guaranteed we'll feel happy. We'll experience happiness. And then we'll become very effective. When there weren't even books, there weren't even any books, the devotees went to Srila Prabhupada and said, what should we do? You know, Prabhupada said, you need to go out and you need to talk to as many people as possible. I want you to go out and preach. They said, well, what do we do? Srila Prabhupada said, tell them you're chanting Hare Krishna and it's making you happy. And they did, and it worked. People became devotees. And then Prabhupada, in 1972, Prabhupada said,
Mostly Prabhupada's effort brought in the first 1,000 disciples. And in 1972, 65 to 72, 7-year period, in 1972, Srila Prabhupada said, except for this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the whole world would have been reduced to a charred cinder. Everything would have been burnt to a crisp. All life finished. Prabhupada saved the world. He used mlechas and yavanas to save the world. That's a miracle. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki!